Amen. If that doesn't give you chills, if that doesn't do something in your soul, then you're not alive. There's something about that name. I mean, I want us to say the name on the count of three. All of us together, say that name. You ready? One, two, three. Jesus. I didn't hear you. Okay, we're going to do it again. Say it with me. One, two, three. Jesus. There is something about that name. We're starting in a new series right now. We're going to be in it the next couple of weeks. Do you know what it's called? Speak Jesus. Like, why should we speak Jesus? Why, of all things, should we speak that name? Now, you're going to be pushed. You're going to be called to speak that name to at least one person every day. Whether it's sharing about him or whether it's just saying his name in even a somewhat awkward way to make someone think about that name. The name that's above every other name. The name that means the Lord saves. There's power in that name. It's the name above all names. It's the name of Jesus. So we're in a series called Speak Jesus. And really the theme of it tonight, we're looking at the beginning of it, the theme verse for us. There's a couple theme verses, but one of them is Romans 1:16. So open your Bibles to Romans 1:16. This is the Apostle Paul writing to a church at Rome, Romans 1:16. And it's really the summarization, the theme of this entire book. And he's writing to these people and he's talking about the gospel. Does anybody know what the gospel is? What's the gospel? The gospel is that God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, God in the flesh, to die for you, to give you life, to give you freedom, to give you forgiveness, to give you life, to give you hope, to give you life now and forevermore. That's the gospel. And it's all centered and all because of who? Jesus. And so Paul says this in Romans 1:16. Are you ready? So hopefully you have your Bibles. You got notes around. If you don't have notes around, there's some in the back. Actually, Miss Beth has them right now, so you can follow along. We're going to go quickly through this. We're going to set the stage for what we're going to be in the next couple of weeks. We're going to see what this name means in the next couple of weeks. We're going to see more what the gospel means. But tonight, we're going to see that we shouldn't be ashamed. So Romans 1:16. For I am not, actually, you read this out loud with me. It's on the screen. Are you ready? Read it out loud with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's pray. God, speak to us tonight. Have your way in us, with us, through us. Guide us by your word and by your spirit. Help us see what it means to not be ashamed of the gospel. Help us to see what the gospel means for us and let us be changed by it so we wouldn't be ashamed by it. So guide us and have your way with us and be glorified. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So at the heart of what we're seeking to do in our community here, what I talked about in the announcement time is Romans 1:16, is to not be ashamed of the gospel. So this verse is the very heart of the book of Romans, written by Paul as a kind of thesis of his book that he's saying to this whole church here, to this whole people. So let's start off by asking the question. If our theme tonight is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, is anybody ashamed of anything? Has anybody ever been ashamed of anything in your life? Has anybody ever felt ashamed in a certain situation? Now, there's different. Now, let's see. Let's ask, what makes a person feel shame, okay? If we're going to see, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, let's see what makes a person feel shame. I'm going to walk you through a couple scenarios, okay? Maybe you've been in some. Maybe you've seen some on TV shows or something. I don't know. But first, suppose a boy brags to his friends that he can outrun the new kid in town. Who knows of somebody who is always better than the other person and brags about it? Just raise your hand. You know that person, you know. Okay, so that person's like, they talk a big game and they're talking the big game and this new kid in town is like, oh, I'm better than them. All right, well, let's show it. And so they go, they map out this area they're gonna run. We're gonna race right here and everybody, and he's talked a big game, worked it up. And they take off and they go and this dude beats him by like a long shot, okay? Beats the dude that was bragging about it. Now, how does this guy feel, the bragger? After he's talked a big game, like, I'm all high and mighty, and he just gets shut down in his place. How do you think he feels? Shame, right? When this happens, it's very likely that the bragging person feels ashamed. He feels like he made a fool of himself, right? Okay, second, suppose someone you don't like at school has a dad who's in jail. Maybe he's a thief, and this person has talked bad against this guy. Like, you get in a verbal fight, and he's like, well, at least my dad's not a thief. And my dad's rich, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know some people who would just go off at the mouth like that. Now suppose that a few days later, this person finds out, like, his dad's been embezzling money and then gets sent to jail. How does this guy feel in that situation? He feels ashamed of his dad for doing this, but ashamed for what he has said as well. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Third, suppose you're invited to a costume party. Suppose you're invited to a costume party, and you talk to a friend, what am I supposed to wear? They say, oh, just dress up really, really fun, like think like Halloween costume, okay? And so, like, you pick out the perfect costume, you work really hard on it, you buy it, you get it all worked out. Like, what's your favorite Avenger? Shout it out. What's your favorite Avenger? Somebody. Okay, I think I heard all of them here. So you dress up as like your favorite Avenger and you're like, all right, I'm all cool. And you show up at this party, but it's not that kind of dress up party. Like, it's like everybody is like in a suit and tie and like in dress and stuff. So how do you then feel? Like, you don't want to walk in the room. Why? Like, you're ashamed. Like, you're embarrassed. So being ashamed is somewhat like being embarrassed, okay? Finally, fourth, here's another scenario that kind of shows it as well. Suppose, who's ever been in some sort of play or little production or something? Anybody? Just raise your hand. Okay, now, who gets nervous public speaking? That's on the top of list of fears. Do you know what number one is for a lot of people? Public speaking is the number one fear for a lot of people. Now, suppose you have a small line in this play and you've worked on it, and then your line is coming up and your cue, and it comes time, and then everybody's looking at you, the light is on you, and just your mind goes blank. And you're just... And someone's trying to cue you in and you still don't get it, and somehow they work around you. And what do you do? What do you do? What do you feel like then? Like, you just want to go in a corner in fetal position and cry, like, right? Like, you're ashamed, like, how could that happen? Everybody was looking at me. And so these are some different scenarios where we feel ashamed. We feel shame. We feel embarrassed, okay? So we all know what it is to be embarrassed or ashamed. What would keep you from being embarrassed or ashamed in situations like that? What keeps somebody from being embarrassed or ashamed? What do you think? Well, one answer would be you have faster legs, so you outrun that guy. A more honest dad who wouldn't have embezzled money, so you wouldn't be ashamed of him. With better counsel from your friend, you wouldn't have dressed wrong for the party, so you wouldn't have done something out of whack, right? And better nerves in front of a group would have let you remember your lines and speak with excellence. In other words, get your notes out. So how would you not be ashamed? You could avoid being ashamed if you could always keep yourself in the best light, that's your blank there, and never let anyone feel negative things about you, okay? You'd always be looked at in the best light and people wouldn't think negative things about you. Is that always possible? No, it's not always possible. You can't control what other people think about you. You can't always control your actions and how people view you. And so in all of these situations where you have shame, you have embarrassment, this is what would cause you to not be ashamed. Everybody looks at you in a good light. They don't think negatively about you. Okay, I have no shame. I'm great. But here's what we're going to see. The gospel, biblically, the gospel is completely opposite of that. Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Here's your next point. The gospel causes shame and it brings freedom from it. Now, this doesn't make sense to you yet, but it will. The gospel causes shame and it brings freedom from it. Now, when Paul says in Romans 1:16 that he's not ashamed of the gospel, is this what keeps him from being ashamed? Does he escape being ashamed because everybody looks at himself in the best light? No, it's exactly the opposite for Paul. Believing and preaching the gospel, look, constantly put Paul in a bad light. Like, Everybody he was preaching to looked at him in a wrong, negative light, completely opposite of what makes us not ashamed. It constantly stirred up other people to shame Paul. He gives us a list of ways he was shamed in the ministry of preaching and proclaiming the gospel. He does it several times, but look, you'll see it on the screen. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26 says, "Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman." He's proclaiming the gospel. And here's what happens because of, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and the list goes on and on and on. So Paul's proclaiming the gospel, this is what it gets him. Like, you dress up weird for a party, you get some weird looks that make you feel ashamed. You know what I'm saying? For Paul, he's not ashamed of the gospel, and it does the complete opposite. It makes people do these things to him. So this is, it causes people to act in a shameful way towards him. Paul's way of not being ashamed of the gospel was not that he could keep himself in the best light, that he had enough skill that people always liked him and approved what he did. Look back at Romans 1:14, if you still have Romans 1:16 open up. It says, "I'm under obligation." This is what he says shortly before, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm under obligation." This means I'm a debtor. Like I owe, who's ever owed somebody something? Like you've owed somebody money or something. Like this is what he's saying. I'm under obligation. I'm a debtor. I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Under obligation to share the gospel with them. Okay, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm under obligation to give them Jesus, to speak Jesus to them. So when Paul looked out on the huge world of unbelief in his day, listen, he felt a debt to all of them. Like he felt he owed them something. Non-believers, people who are persecuting them, he felt he owed them something. He didn't look with utter disdain on people who weren't living for God. Like how dare them not believe in God? How dare them live a homosexual lifestyle? How dare them embezzle money? How dare them pursue every desire that they have and go and party every weekend? How dare them sleep around? How dare them get into drugs? How dare you? The list goes on. He didn't look at people like that. He didn't look like I'm better. What he looked at them was, is I am indebted to them. I owe them the gospel. Like this is how he felt to the unbelieving world. I owe them Jesus. I want you to think about yourself. Is that how you view people who aren't of Christ? Like you owe them Jesus? Like I'm indebted to them? This is part of what fueled Paul to not be ashamed no matter what happened to him. It's like, I owe you this. You don't believe it? I owe you this, though. He was indebted to them. He didn't look with utter disdain on the pagans of his day. Instead, he felt indebted to them. But did they want him to pay them his debt? No. Do the unbelieving people around you want what you have to give? Do they want Jesus? Are you tracking with me? Listen, I'm asking you a question. Do the unbelieving people around you want what you have to give them? No, they don't. They don't even think they need it, right? In 1 Corinthians 1, 22 through 23, Paul says, "Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified." That's the gospel that he's not ashamed of. But look what it is to the people he feels indebted to, the people he's given this to. Look, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. This is the content of what he's preaching. The people that he feels indebted to that are doing all this to him, shaming him for this gospel he's not ashamed of, they're stumbling blocks to him and it's foolishness. They're like, what are you talking about? This is false. This isn't true. This isn't what I need. This isn't reality. How dare you? This is what, I want you to think about the people around you who don't know Jesus. If you share Jesus with them, what are their responses to you? Well, no matter what it is, Paul felt indebted to give it to them, the gospel, no matter what they believed. Paul had a debt to pay to Jews and Greeks and barbarians, pagans, and most of them, as today, didn't want his message of love and grace and hope. It was foolishness and a stumbling block to them. So before we can see in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the basis of Paul's freedom from shame, we see that it was first a basis of him being shamed. So a lot of times people don't share Christ because they're afraid of what's going to happen to them. They're afraid of the looks that they're going to get. They're afraid of the judgmental, you are intolerant talk. How dare you say that my way is wrong? Maybe a question they can't answer. People are afraid of this, but this is being shamed. Paul was willing to take that on because he felt indebted to give the gospel to them. So he is not ashamed of the gospel, even though he is shamed. So the gospel causes this reaction from the outside world. So look, the gospel does two things. This is your notes. It brings out shame in those who will not believe it. It brings out shame in those who will not believe it, and it gives freedom from shame to those who do believe it. So the outside world who doesn't know the truth or want the truth and hears the truth reacts a lot of times negatively towards that truth. But the Christian who has that truth is free from that shame no matter what the outside world puts on you. Much like arriving at a costume party wearing the wrong costume, non-believers, listen, will one day bow their knee before the reality that they once denied. Did you hear that? Non-believers will one day bow their knee before the reality that they once denied. Everybody believes different things. There's only one truth. You realize that, right? God can't exist and not exist. Either theists who believe in God are telling the truth correctly, or atheists are telling the truth correctly. There can't be both. Right? Either Christians who say Jesus is God in the flesh, who really died for you, and if you believe in him, you have life, is true, or the people who deny Christianity is true. There's no in between, right? It can't, your truth works for you and my truth works for me, does not function. It's incoherent. It does not work, right? There is a truth, and the Bible tells us that one day every knee will bow, even the ones who said, "You aren't real," will see with their eyes. You are real. In Luke 16, this isn't in my notes. God, just lead me here. I preached this at my twin sister's funeral here at this church 7 years ago, Luke 16. It's a parable Jesus told of Lazarus and the rich man, a man who lived, got all his reward on earth. He lived for the things of the world. He pursued his pleasures. He pursued what he wanted. He got all of his good gifts on earth. He didn't believe in God. He went to hell. The Bible talks a lot about hell. Jesus talks about hell more than anybody. But Lazarus, he was poor. He didn't have a lot in this earth. He believed in God. He believed in Jesus. He goes to heaven, okay? And what we see in Luke 16, this tale of Lazarus and the rich man. They're talking and he's crying out. This man who didn't believe, he's literally crying out, saying, "Just give me a drop. Give me a drop of water to quench his agony that he's in," because he's paying for his own sins. But here's what he calls out. He says, "Go tell my family. Go tell my family." This is in the Bible, Luke 16. "Go tell my family that this is real." He didn't believe it on earth. But when his time came and he passed, he believed it, right? And you know what? You know what they said from heaven? He said, "They have the prophets, the law and the prophets." They have the Bible. If they're not going to believe by the Bible, they're not going to believe if someone comes back from the dead to tell them. So I want to tell you tonight, I don't know where your state of belief is, but you're coming face to face with truth. Is this true or is it not? You're going to have to answer one day. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But only those in heaven will be those who make him Lord here on earth. What did Jesus do with shame? We see what Paul did. He was shamed for proclaiming what Jesus did. What did Jesus do with shame? I want you to listen to this. Paul followed the example that Jesus had set before him. Here's what Jesus had happened to him. Jesus was abandoned by his friends, falsely accused of blasphemy, beaten with rods, ridiculed and taunted, stripped of his clothes, naked, left for all to see, scourged with a whip, tortured in public, made to look like a fool as people mocked him and jeered at him, pulled out his beard, spit on him. people mocking him. You who saved others, save yourself. And this is God in the flesh, the one the Bible tells us who by all things, through him all things were created, and through him he sustains all things, is dying on a cross, butt naked for all to see, bloodied. Talk about shame. Talk about shame. This is God. No wonder Paul can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because God was shamed for us. Isn't that incredible? That's an incredible thought. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel, because God, the sustainer, creator of all things, came and died on a cross for me in utter humiliation. It's incredible. Here's your point. This is what Jesus did with shame. With joy, he endured the cross. With joy, he endured the cross. This is biblical. Hebrews 12:2 says, tells us what he did with the shame. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising, look, here's our word, despising, it'll be up there, just put that Bible verse up there. For the joy that was set before him, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And here's our word, you see it? Despising the what? The shame, and is what? Seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The one who was shamed is ruling and reigning over all. So Paul can take whatever anybody says against him, can take what anybody does against him. He's not ashamed of the gospel, because he has the truth, and he knows who rules and reigns. He knows who is in charge, even though the world could be against him. Are you with me? We are not to be ashamed. Here's your next point. Because Jesus alone saves. We are not to be ashamed because Jesus alone saves. Do you know what the name Jesus means? Anybody? The angel came and told Mary and Joseph, told Joseph, you're to name him Jesus. Like, he was given that name for a purpose. Do you know what it means? It says, because he will what? Does anybody know? Because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus literally means the Lord saves. We shouldn't be ashamed because Jesus alone saves. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth, he is the way, and he is the life. I want you to think about this. If you have truth, true truth, it doesn't matter who contradicts you or says opposite, you're not ashamed because you know what the truth is. Say, you have two, you know 2 + 2, what does it equal? Does anybody know? 4. 2 + 2 equals what? 4. But say someone with all their heart believes, no, 2 + 2 equals 6. Satan is really working at us, y'all. They say 2 + 2 equals 6, okay? What do you say? No, it equals 4. But what if they're like, no, it equals 6. I believe that. Like they get as mad as can be. They get in your face. No, you are wrong. 2 + 2 equals 6. I don't care what you say. And you are intolerant. How dare you believe that I am wrong? Oh my goodness. How dare I believe with my whole heart 2 + 2 = 6. How can anyone believe different? Would you get offended by that? No, because you know 2 + 2 = 4. Like, right? Like, you wouldn't get offended. I'm sorry I yelled at you, Hannah. I knew I could do that to you, okay? But like, it's like, you know the truth. Like, 2 + 2 = the Bible tells us, y'all, the true truth is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus means the Lord saves. So there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved, the Bible tells us. So Paul can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I don't care what you yell at me. I don't care what you believe in contradiction to what I'm saying. I don't care what you do to me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. That's what he says. And hopefully you see some of the reason behind this. It's the most loving thing in the world to tell truth about the way of salvation. That's your last point. What is the world going to say against you? They're not going to do the things that Paul says, but what they're going to say is you are a bigot. You are intolerant. How dare you contradict my truth and say my truth isn't right? That's what the world is going to say about you. You are unloving. Because you're saying it's this way, that life is this way. You are unloving by not letting me live my way and my truth. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. It's the most loving thing in the world to tell truth about the way of salvation, and that is in Jesus. If we had time, I would show you a video. Who likes magic? Who's ever heard of Penn and Teller? Anybody? Famous magic act. Now, there's one big guy, one smaller guy. The smaller guy never talks. The big guy does all the talking. But he's a renowned atheist. And there's a video of him talking about after a show one night, a guy came up to him with a little Gideon Bible and said, he was very stumbling over his words. He's like, I believe in Jesus and he's the way of salvation. And God just put on my heart to give you this Bible. And this atheist in this video, you should go look it up. Go look it up. You can see it on YouTube. He almost starts crying, thinking about this, like the love of this guy. And this atheist says this. He said, if you really believe this, he said, if you really believe this, how could you hate someone so much to not tell them about it? That's what an atheist said about someone trying to lead him to Christ, something he didn't believe. How could you hate someone so much that you wouldn't tell them if you truly believe this? Now, how often are we not like Paul because of maybe a little discomfort? You know, maybe we get a little look. Maybe we might kind of maybe make one friendship a little awkward, right? And Paul, like, despised the shame. Paul took it upon himself. Jesus despised the shame and went to the cross with joy, endured the cross. So Paul can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. So the most loving thing you can do is to not be ashamed of the gospel and tell people how to be saved. And it is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So we should and can in all circumstances, in any situation, do what? Speak Jesus. The name above every name, the name alone that saves, Jesus. So here's the deal. I don't know if you've accepted that for yourself. Maybe you've come face to face with what's reality. And you got to do some deep truth searching, soul searching, because you realize I can't live in contradiction. There is a truth. Is Jesus the way? I'd love to talk to you more about that. Maybe you haven't submitted and surrendered your life to him and taken that on for all who believe. It's the power of God for salvation for all who believe. You must believe in him in order to then receive the salvation from your sin. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I believe in you. I give you my life. I trust you. Save me. The Bible tells us you're saved. So would you do that right here, right now? It doesn't even have to be here. You can do it on when you lay down your head on your pillow. Don't go to sleep tonight, though, until you get that relationship right with Jesus. You don't want to be like Lazarus and the rich man and deny him here on earth, and then your day comes, and you never know when that day's going to be. And then your knee will bow and your tongue confess, you are Lord, you are real. I should have made you my Savior. But it's too late. So let us all not be ashamed of the gospel. Let us speak Jesus, for he, in his name, is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Amen.